The next case is 07980, State of Ohio versus Laura Mercier.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May I please the court? My name is Jeffrey Bird. I represent Laura Mercier. I'd like, if I may, to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you. The question that's before this court, and was also before the appellate court, is this. In the context of an automobile search, is a passenger in that automobile who's wearing or carrying a purse, is that purse part of her person for the purposes of the search? Or is that purse more like a container, whether it be a briefcase or a bag or a box in the back seat, so that the search of the purse is more like a search of the automobile, not a search of the person? Prior to the appellate decision in this case, under Ohio law, a woman wearing a purse, generally that purse was part of her person. This court in 1976, in State versus Matthews case, said when you're searching a woman who's carrying a purse, you may search that purse as part of her person. The First District of Ohio, from where this case came, said the exact same thing in the 80s and the 90s in the McAfee and the Iyer case, which I've cited in my brief.
Mr. Bird, could I stop you for a second? You're making a statement about a woman, and I'm wondering if this is gender-related here.
It doesn't have to be. I think in most cases it will. I don't know too many men.
Because, you're emphasizing that word, and I just want to clarify if the cases have been specifically talking about women carrying purses or if a man with a briefcase would fall in the same category.
I don't think a man with a briefcase would. And the reason why is I don't think it is gender specific. I think a man potentially could carry a purse. I think those little, I don't know what they're called, maybe fanny packs, where you tend to put personal things in, I think that would probably fall within the definition of a purse. However, I would ask the court to turn its attention to Justice Breyer's concurring opinion in Houghton, where he specifically says purses are special containers and compares them to billfolds, saying they contain things that would be especially personal in nature.
But the majority opinion in Houghton written by Justice Scalia clearly says a purse, if it's left in the car, is property that can be searched, doesn't it? There's no question about the majority opinion, I don't think.
The purse in Houghton was not containing any personal information, was not part of the person. It's pretty clear about that because there's two important factors about that purse. One, it was nowhere near the person. The passenger was sitting in the front seat. The purse was out of reach of that passenger in the back seat. And second, and this may be almost as important, if not more important, no one claimed ownership of that purse. Reading Houghton, the police asked the passenger, is this your purse? She said no. Only upon searching the purse, finding her identification in it, and showing it to her, did she say, oh yeah, it is my purse. As Justice Breyer said, purses are generally personal. They're part of the person. That's what Ohio law has said. But when someone says, this purse is nowhere near me, and it's not mine, I think it's a stretch to all of a sudden to say, well, searching that purse would be part of the person. How are the police to know that it's part of the person in that case? But ordinarily, when you're carrying something or wearing something, Ohio law has always said, okay, that's part of the person.
Well, here I thought, maybe I got the facts wrong in this case, but here I thought that the officer who stopped the car in ordering the defendant to get out of the car, I think told her to leave the purse in the car, did he not, or did she just happen to leave it there?
No, and that was actually brought up at the appellate level. It was briefed in the appellate level, so if you've read the Court of Appeals briefs, that was a major issue. The court resolved that in our favor. She was ordered to leave the purse behind. And in the transcript of the suppression hearing, the officer specifically testified the purse was on her person. She was wearing it.
So I guess I'm still trying to see the distinction between this case and Houghton. The purse is left in the car. Here they happen to know or assume it's her purse because she had it, and they told her to leave it in the car. But how is that? Why doesn't Houghton apply to that situation just as well as if they don't know whose purse it is. The question is whether there can be something in that container that is contraband or dangerous to the arresting officer, isn't it?
Well, actually, not in this case. I mean, on a broader scale, potentially. On this case, no. The officer specifically said that he wasn't concerned about her being a suspect in the crime, didn't pat her down and let her walk around the scene without ever searching her for weapons, or didn't think that she was involved. In a broader sense, no. The state argued the abandonment issue at the appellate level, saying, well, that purse was left behind. And the appellate court, during its oral argument,
said... A little
hard
to make when she told to leave it behind. She didn't really abandon it.
She was wearing it.
Yeah,
it was part of her person. Only when the police, under orders,
does it, the police tell her to
separate this from yourself, that it stopped being part of her person. But she did so only under order of the police.
Counsel, when you say she was wearing it, it had a strap that was over her shoulder, or was it just a small purse laying on her lap?
I don't think the record's completely clear, because the officer, when I asked him, said it was on her person. I believe it was on her lap. I don't know if the strap was around her shoulder or not, but his testimony was directly, it was on her person.
The difficulty, as you're aware, it's not just your case and the fact-specific nature of your case. You have told us that the record will reflect that the officer indicated there was no concern that there's a gun in the purse. It seems to me that ordinary police procedure might be to require you to leave a bag or a duffel bag or anything like that behind, even if it's yours, if the stop is for the other person, because of the safety issue. So do you get past that only if you get the officer to say, I didn't think there was a gun in the person. I didn't tell her to leave it behind because of concern for my personal safety. I told her to leave it behind because I wanted to search it, thought maybe there were drugs in there.
I touched more on this in my reply brief than my regular brief. But my answer is yes, we certainly get past it for two reasons. One, what's the difference saying there might be a purse, a gun or a knife or a weapon, or more importantly, what they were looking for here was contraband in the purse, as opposed to there may be contraband in the pocket. There may be a gun or a knife under your leg or something like that. And the idea of searching a person for contraband or a thorough search of a person for weapons other than a pat-down has already been rejected by the United States Supreme Court, because the state made that argument in the United States versus DeRay over 40 years ago, saying we need to search the person because there might be drugs on that passenger too. And the Supreme Court said, no, that's too great of an intrusion on the privacy interest of a person who's not suspected of committing any crime.
Isn't that the issue in Houghton as well? When Justice Scalia starts out his opinion, he says, the question is whether officers violate the Fourth Amendment when they search the passenger's personal belongings inside an auto that they have probable cause to believe contains contraband. So, I mean, he talks about it as if the passenger's purse, there was probable cause to search. And here, isn't the distinction, at least the argument that you're making, that there was no probable cause for the passenger purse search?
There was no probable cause to search the person under DeRay, and I think the purse is part of the person, which is what Justice Breyer also suggested in his concurring opinion in that case.
And the separation of that property, leaving it in the car, you're saying does not take that away. I mean, it's still...
She had no choice. If allowed to walk away with it, she obviously would have. The police officer said, I told her, you need to leave that behind. However, I would like to comment on what Justice Scalia said. If you read the footnote in Justice Scalia's opinion, he specifically says, we do not buy what the dissent is saying. This is not authorizing personal searches. If it were a wallet or a pocket, this case would be different. And it was in Justice Scalia's footnote to the majority opinion. I think I'm just about out of time, except for what I've reserved for rebuttal. So,
thank you, Mr. Byrd. Mr. Keeling.
Thank you, May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice. There are three reasons that this Court should uphold the search of Mrs. Mercier's purse, but before I get into those, I'd just like to answer a couple things that were stated earlier by counsel and go over a couple of disagreements that we're having, specifically, first of all, about what Houghton says. In Houghton, and I'm looking at Section 1, page 4 of my printout of the brief, the facts in Houghton is that Mrs. Houghton did identify that purse as hers. It was only when the officer started searching and pulling items out, she then claimed that she didn't know how the drugs or whatever was containing the drugs got into the purse. So in Houghton, the officer did know that that item was the passenger's and the driver's. I think that distinction is important because it just shows, and the language in Houghton goes on to bear this out, is that it doesn't really matter whether or not it's the passenger's. The Houghton decision doesn't depend on where the item's located or whose it is or trying to develop any ownership of this item. What's important in Houghton is that you have probable cause to search the car and that that carries over to any container in the car, regardless of whether it's the passenger's, regardless of whether it's on their person or sitting in their lap, or it's the item, the container that could contain the item being searched for, rather than these vacillating rules about where you find the item and whose it belongs to and trying to determine ownership in the field. And that goes into the first reason that I think that supports the search is that the belt and bright line rule is something that law enforcement officers can apply in the field. It's not something that requires Court of Appeals decisions and long, lengthy thought back in chambers about whether or not this purse was hers or whether or not it belonged to the passenger and whether or not probable cause extends here or there. It is a bright-line rule that has served the United States and this state since Morrell well for years. It's been extended in Ross to apply if you have probable cause to search the entire car. The car, you have probable cause to search the trunk of the car, not just the passenger compartment. So this bright line rule extends not just to purses, any container that's located in that car.
So, counsel, you have a situation where there's probable cause that the driver has done something. What you're saying then is that the police have the authority, it's reasonable to search all passengers, all containers within that car. I mean, isn't this guilt by association? You said there shouldn't be any distinction between driver and passenger.
It's literally the container versus the person distinction that, and this is not any of my legal brilliance or anything. This is in the opinion in Houghton. Justice Scalia discusses just this concern about, and as counsel pointed out, between the person and containers in the car. And the difference that he points out is that even a brief Terry-style pat-down includes some intrusion into your person, into your personal space. If you go to the concern that counsel was talking about with pockets or on their person, that is the brief, even that brief intrusion into the personal space is what the court in D-Ray says that you can't do. You cannot, if you don't have probable cause toward the passenger, you can't intrude on their personal liberty, their personal space. However, that same protection, that same personal intrusion doesn't extend to any packages that you may be holding in your hands at the time. It doesn't extend to a duffel bag. It doesn't extend to a briefcase. And there are different concerns there that don't give rise to the same personal intrusion that you have in D-Ray or that you would have in a Terry style stop.
And so how is a purse different than a wallet?
A purse is different in a wallet because it meets the definition of a container that's included in Belton and Houghton, an item that could contain the object of the search. And that's the only real difference in this. And we have other state court cases that involve literally jackets that are thrown in the back seats of cars. In one case, interestingly enough, a pair of shorts that were somehow left in the rear of a car. All of those are containers if they could hold the item of the search and aren't on the defendant's person at the time. And that's the distinction that's made in Houghton between D-Ray and the container.
So if the passenger is ordered to leave her wallet behind, the same situation, you would see no distinction?
If it were on her person, then I would see a distinction. I would see the D. Ray distinction. But a purse is a container that can't be held on your person. It can't be held in your clothing. It can't be on your person to make it physically intrusive into the search. That's the distinction that I'm drawing.
Well, isn't it also important? Scalia also observes that it's easy for someone who has contraband in a car to give it to someone else and have them put it into a container.
Correct. And that goes
here. There was also contraband not only on the driver who was outside the car when they found it, but also there was some in the console between the passenger and the driver, as I understand it. He pulled some out.
That's correct.
There was more of it. So it seems to me that those facts sort of drove.
I don't think even defense counsel would disagree that there was probable cause to search the car in this case. So we had a pound of marijuana that just been sold from the car. The driver, when stopped, admitted that not only was that marijuana there, but there was more marijuana in the car that was later recovered from the console. In that respect, the facts are eerily similar to Houghton, that the driver gives up everything and confesses that there is more stuff in this car. So
I understand, Mr. Keeling, that your view is that the wallet on the passenger would not be subject to search in this instance?
That's correct.
And you would draw the line then as to what is on the person?
On the person.
Am I understanding your argument?
That's the distinction that I see Houghton and D. Ray drawing. That's once you start invading the personal integrity of the person.
And so what the decision of our court then in this instance would be that the purse was not on the person of the passenger.
Correct. And
is that because the passenger followed the police directive and left it in the car, or because it was a purse?
Because it is a container. It is a container, not a part of that Mrs. Mercier's person.
Well, counsel, Justice.
Mr. Byrd raised the issue about a fanny pack. How do you regard some other containers, and how close do we have to go?
Anything that is a container that could hold the object of the search, a fanny pack, a purse, a book bag, a duffel bag, any of those items, those containers, are covered in Houghton. I mean, Houghton is clear that it is the fact that it is a container in the car that those items are covered.
And then the reason then that you're excluding the wallet, is it because it's on the person or because it's incapable of holding the contraband that the officer was searching for?
When pressed, probably both. Obviously, the wallet can't hold the contraband that was being searched for. It is unlikely to hold a weapon. And that actually, sorry to steer from not answering your question, but that brings up the second issue that the second disagreement that I have with counsel that I just wanted to briefly mention was, this officer did not say that he was not concerned about a weapon on our person. On page 13 of the transcript, even the officer answers, even doing that, I would still have searched the purse just because there could have been a weapon or something before I put her in my
purse. I think Justice O'Connor has a question for you.
And that brings me to my question, that this was police protocol.
Correct.
They're trained. This is part of when they are in a situation such as this and there's passengers, and they're asked to be removed from the vehicle. It's protocol. Leave what you are carrying in the car. And then that becomes subject to either inventory or search or both. Is that correct?
In this case, we didn't need to get to an inventory search.
I understand that, but in the training mode of police officers, that's just part of doing your job.
Correct. You, as a police officer, you wouldn't want... And it defeats two of the reasons for the belt and bright line rule. One, you would have evidence leaving the scene of your search, which is untenable. You can't have a search scene where evidence starts walking out of the car. Secondly, it's for officer safety. You don't know whether or not that purse has a gun. In this case, it may have been unlikely, but you did just have a drug sale go down, and it is not beyond the realm of comprehension that the passenger in a car that had just sold a pound of marijuana might have a firearm in the purse.
So this bright line rule that we're talking about, someone who has a purse inside I mean, you can wear a purse on your shoulder, have a coat over it, and so on. You would not be talking about someone who is instructed to leave a purse behind, having to take a coat off and put it on the seat to be examined.
The distinction that I see that DeRay and Houghton make is any time you have to invade the personal integrity or the personal space of the passenger. If he
so
told
it's
her
more
remove
than the
an article of clothing,
okay,
then that would be a distinction.
All right, so it's more than just a container, as you were talking to Justice O'Donnell. I mean, we're talking about bright line rules, which are supposed to be easy to follow. And you get into, you know, the what is reasonable and not reasonable. That's why Fourth Amendment cases are so difficult. They're fact intensive.
I agree, but I don't want to give up my container argument just yet.
Counsel, let me direct this maybe in a little different direction. The discussion so far has been the purse is a purse is a purse, but it might be on a person differently. But I think probably most people would agree there's all kinds of purses, including little coin purses that might be stuck inside a jacket or a not a blouse, but what goes over a blouse inside. That would be very similar to a wallet. That might be a different situation under the discussion, as opposed to, and I guess the question is, what was the size of the purse in this case?
From what I recall from the record, it's was at a purse being held in her lap. Not overly large by any means, but certainly a handbag that was being held in her lap. It does bring up a point that I think we raised in the brief and has just been boggling my mind when I'm thinking about this oral argument over and over again, is if we're going to draft a rule that says a purse is special and it is entitled to some special protection because it's a part of a woman's clothing, how do you define a purse? I mean, not to date myself or anything, but back in high school, my sister was a big fan of Esprit bags, which were nothing more than little canvas tote bags with strings on the top with Esprit on the side. She considered it a purse. Does this all go subjectively to what the person considers their purse? You get to carry one free item, anything you think of
we've
as a purse out of the car.
We've got experts here on purses.
Well, you're talking about the privacy interest, I mean, which undercoats a lot of the Fourth Amendment discussion here, and the reasonable expectation of privacy. So, I think it's more than just talking about a container that happens to be on your lap.
But I just can't believe that the Fourth Amendment is subject to the vagaries of fashion, that it all depends on whether or not we're talking about backpacks.
Well, and we're talking about passengers for whom there is no probable cause to begin with. That's my concern here.
And that's why I think the line in DeRay and the line in Houghton, when you start talking about personal integrity, the items on their person is
now
important.
Those are federal cases. If we wish, we can go further in giving protections to individuals in
Correct.
These circumstances.
The only thing that I would add was this court in Morrell, when it adopted Belton, backed off that line of jurisprudence. In looking at other states, this issue has come up in other states before. We haven't included all of those opinions in the brief because some of them actually get to deciding the issue based on their state law constitution, their state constitutions, and the decision to grant more protections or not less protections, but more protections than the U.S. Constitution or the Fourth Amendment requires. This court in Robinette and Morrell essentially backed off of that approach of at least to my mind, and Morrell made an effort to make the Fourth Amendment more coextensive.
I don't think that's what we did in Robinette.
Excuse me?
I don't think that's what we did.
Not in Robinette, I'm sorry, in Morrell. To make the Article 1, Section 14 coextensive with the Fourth Amendment, try to bring in line.
Counsel, on the officer's testimony of could have been a gun, that kind of thing, was there just one officer at this stop?
Initially, I believe the traffic stop involved one officer. Because this was an undercover drug buy, he quickly was followed with others. So
there's several officers standing around.
Correct.
Fear of a gun in the purse
really doesn't fit this fact pattern, does it?
I wouldn't concede that, Your Honor. While,
there were other officers
and there could have been a shootout at the OK Corral, and I would have been convinced that my side would have been Wyatt Earp and we would have won. It doesn't mean that the passenger wouldn't try to pull a gun or that there wouldn't be a gun just because of an overwhelming presence of officers. I don't think that that automatically follows. Sorry, I see my time's up.
Thank you, Mr. Keeling. Mr. Byrd, you've done something very few lawyers do. You've saved 6 minutes of your time for rebuttal.
Fantastic, because I have a lot of points. First, a wallet is a container. It's been held in several cases that a wallet's a container. Justice Breyer's concurring opinion calls a wallet a container. It's a container. Second, there should be no bright line rule here. The Belton rule has no application, nor does Murrell. Belton said there was a bright line rule or justified a bright line rule specifically because the privacy interest of the arrested individuals in the car, and there were only arrested individuals in the car, was so low that the state's needs trumped them or were greater than them. We're not dealing with the reduced privacy interest of a person under arrest. We're dealing with someone who is not only not under arrest, but the officer says, we didn't even suspect her of committing a crime. And they were prepared to let her to walk away with the purse. And the officer did testify when asked, you would have searched this purse anyways for safety. The officer said yes, but we really just did it because it was our policy. I thought Madeira Police Department said we had to search everything, so that's why I did it. But sure, had there not been the policy, I guess I would have. Belton has no application to this case. A bright line rule has no application to this
Houghton
case.
But Houghton does, doesn't it? You want to go to Belton, but Houghton is your case you've got to get.
I agree completely with you.
It's almost done. I mean, it's really close to this case.
Houghton never once, not in the majority opinion, concurring opinion, or dissenting opinion, ever cited Belton. This is all about Houghton, I agree. And Houghton is distinguishable, as Justice Breyer said in his concurring opinion, because the purse was unattended and not part of her person, and she really didn't claim ownership to it. Justice Breyer said in his concurring opinion, this case probably would have been differently, and I would have been tempted to go the other way had she been wearing the purse because the purse is her special.
And that's the clear distinction that the majority makes, and they're trying to draw a bright-line test. And as Justice Lansinger says, these Fourth Amendment cases are very difficult because the facts are always a little different. But he says if it's on the person, if it's a wallet or a purse or something that could contain, or a man bag if you want, if it's something that can contain contraband, you have to have a warrant. But if it's not, if it's detached from the person, the same property can be searched. That's the way I read the opinion. Now, am I wrong?
I agree completely with you. If it's detached, if it's a purse in the back seat, even if she would have claimed ownership, I think you're completely right that Houghton would say yes. It was not on your person. You can search that because ownership isn't so much important as whether it's on your person. But as you just said, if it's a billfold.
But counsel, isn't it important as what it takes to separate the container from the owner? And as was mentioned before, if there's a purse or a container strapped across your body and then a coat or a vest over it, you know, then you've got an issue of whether that is part of the person. But if it's a container that is carried, like all containers are carried. Containers don't get from one place to the other without a human being carrying them in most instances. And that's what a purse is a container, and it's on the exterior of an individual. And a police officer says, leave the containers in the car. Where do you get authority for that is a something different than a box or anything else?
I don't think that the expectation of privacy in a woman's purse is any different for that woman, whether it's on the inside or the outside of her coat. I think if a man had his wallet sticking out of his trousers instead of completely in, I don't think you could search the wallet anymore if it was completely covered by his pocket. The container is different because purses are special. The First District said so in McAfee. The Supreme Court, in concurring opinion, said purses are special. There's an expectation of privacy there because you put your personal things in there that are different than other containers. And I brought this up in my reply brief. When you go get into a taxi or a limousine, the driver will take your bags and put them in the trunk or in the back seat. You don't ever see anyone ever take offer to take someone's purse and put it in the trunk or something. Those are things that are traditionally carried personal,
usually,
private things.
You've got money in your purse. I mean, that's the attraction most people have with their purses, is that there's a valuable in there.
There's
not
lots of valuables
in there. Not necessarily that they, and I guess you could argue this point, that they've got some clandestine information or items in there that, you know, are very, very private. You know, that at least from my perspective, it's because you have your credit cards, your money, you know, maybe personal photographs or something that are special. But, you know, other than that.
But those are the exact same things that are in a wallet. And that container is protected.
Which is on the inside of a pocket of a piece of clothing.
But I don't know that the expectation of privacy is any different. As I said, whether it's on the inside of your coat or on the outside, or if it's hanging out of your pocket or in your pocket, I think the expectation of privacy of that person is, that's part of me. I'm carrying that purse. I'm carrying that wallet. That's part of my person. I think to search that violates, to search a woman's purse violates that woman, or, you know, if it's a man carrying a purse, it violates that man. Just like searching a wallet violates a man who carries a wallet.
Well, is the wallet detached from the man not searched because it can't contain contraband, which is a little difficult for me to believe, but could certainly powder. It could have powder in it. And so why wouldn't the purse be treated, why wouldn't the wallet be treated the same as some other container that's on a person, such as a handbag or whatever?
If I understand, why isn't a wallet different than a purse because it can't contain contraband?
Their assumption seems to be that the wallet cannot be searched. My question is, it seems to me a wallet can be searched. If it's in the back seat of the car, just in place of the purse here, it's a man's wallet.
I agree with you. If any container is completely detached and out of reach of the passenger or the person not under arrest, it can be searched. But if you're carrying it and you're saying this is part of my person,
which your wallet is.
I mean, it's part of your person.
Supreme Court said that sort of thing. I mean, it's attached to you, part of your clothing. Then you have to have a warrant.
And there's an expectation of privacy there,
right,
which the state recognizes, the courts have recognized, and the person expects. I don't think that changes for a wallet or a purse. The items that you'd find in that wallet and the items that you find in the purse, there's an expectation of privacy there.
Counsel, before you sit down, my concern is this normal process of securing the scene from weapons. That's also an expectation that police would do that. And as Justice Lanzinger said, these all get down to factual. What's your view of, as I read what we have to read in front of us, it sounds as if after this five or sale to an undercover agent, he's pulled over in a couple blocks later, and he gets out of the car. He's asked to exit the car, and she's still sitting there while some time expires while they're dealing with him, and it's only later. So are several officers on the scene at the point that she's told to exit the car and leave her purse behind?
Yes. In the transcript, you'll see that the original stop, when there was only one officer, he lied to the driver and Ms. Mercier, saying, we're investigating a gas runoff. You know, someone pumped gas and ran off without paying. We're investigating that. And only when he had a number of officers, he said, okay, sir, I need you to step out of the car. I've got a tape. And only then, when there was plenty of officers. I understand that you're trying to write this for a broad sense. Clearly, in this case, there was no concern for weapons from this person. They let her walk around the scene and put her in the back of a police car without anyone frisking her. But in a broad sense, if they wanted to pat her down, that would be fine. If they wanted to ask her if there was any weapons, that would be fine. But if it's a situation where you want to actually go through and search a pill bottle,
okay, if they open, if say she took her purse out with her, if they opened the purse to look and see if there's a gun in there, and seeing no gun, end of it. Could they not?
I don't know if they could do that to begin with. I think they could probably feel around to see if there was a gun without invading the privacy of the purse. If they asked her if there was a purse, and if they had no reason to think that there was a gun or a weapon, and they weren't afraid of a gun or a weapon, that's fine. As far as being afraid of contraband, that's a totally different issue, because she could have put the contraband in a shoe and be safe from search.
I'm only concerned about the weapon question.
In this case, it wasn't an issue. In a broader sense, I think they could certainly ask her about it. I think they may be able to feel if it's one of those loose purses to feel to see if there's a weapon. And if they wanted to secure her until the scene was clear and it was safe, I think they could probably do that. But actually going in and starting to search this purse and open up bottles and open up containers or inside the purse, I think we're beyond weapons at that point for this case. And I think as a broad rule, you can say there's no weapon issue here.
Thank you, Mr. Byrd.
Thank you.
Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.